If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
From the number one Sunday Times best-selling author of Her Majesty's Royal Coven comes the stunning sequel, The Shadow Cabinet. Join the witches of Hebden Bridge for more magic, mayhem, and romance as they take on dangerously sexy warlocks and witchfinders. Available in hardback and audiobook, narrated by Bridgerton star Nicola Coughlan. The Shadow Cabinet, the new novel from Juno Dawson, is out now.
Hello, welcome to So I Got to Thinking, your weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you're listening to Carrie's Stuffed Toys, Dylan B. Jones, and Juno Dawson, and you join us for our weekly recaps of And Just Like That, Season 2. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, but if we're the stuffed toys, which one of us is Lily and which one of us is Brady?
I'm definitely Lily. Evil goddess, Juno Dawson as Lily Golden Black York. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. I enjoyed the... I feel like I'm so British, I always talk about the weather. I enjoyed the one day of summer we had. Last week.
That was pleasant, yeah.
That was one day.
I've just got back from a lovely week in Devon.
Yes.
I feel refreshed.
You met an otter.
I did. I befriended an otter who held my hand. It could be that she was trying to eat my finger, which is apparently how Terry Nutkins lost a finger.
Oh.
Notably, an otter ate Terry Nutkins' finger. There is a fact that...
Bit of trivia for you.
That is gonna bewilder our international fans. I encourage you to Google Terry Nutkins. Enjoy yourself. Yes, Dylan, this week we have been watching episode 9, There Goes the Neighbourhood.
Yes.
Dylan, do you have a potted synopsis?
I do indeed. So... things are moving very quickly for Carrie and Aidan.
Very quickly.
She has made the decision to really move on and is looking at new apartments because she and Aidan get unceremoniously booted out of Che's place.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte and Miranda's storylines are intertwined this week. Because mm-hmm. their offspring are intertwined.
Or are they?
Or are they? Yeah. Actually, yeah, we don't know this for sure.
Yeah.
But quite a cursed... A cursed storyline from two cursed offspring. Lily and Brady.
They must not be allowed to reproduce. Oh, God, my imagine God. Yeah. The nexus of evil that would come from those two.
Che, not much for Che this week. Che meets someone, Toby, who comes into the veterinary surgery. Mm-hmm. And this encounter sort of spurs Che to start thinking about doing their comedy again. Mm-hmm. Naya is shagging. Naya's finished her, she's finished her cake and she's shagging. Mm-hmm. And is that it?
Oh, LT. Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa Todd Wexley and her husband. Lisa is exhausted. Lisa is burning the candle at both ends and is overworking herself. And it's
There's a twist at the end.
Yes, yes. Mm, so
we'll get to that.
Yeah, major twist. News. Major.
And Seema is having sex and Anthony's having sex. Oh my God, there are so many characters, Dylan.
Although I thought they, whether for better or worse, this time all the characters got some airtime. All the characters got a story this week, which is good, I suppose, but also is too much because, as we've just seen just then, I forgot about four of the characters.
And nobody gets a very fulfilling storyline. So it feels a bit like we're on a small plates menu. Have we talked about how I love small plates on this podcast before?
No, but go ahead because you're preaching to the converted.
So when I go out for a meal, I just want my lovely three courses, a small, exciting starter, a hearty, yet not overwhelming main course,
yeah,
and then a delicious pudding that feels like an exciting treat in some way. What I do not like is small plates for several reasons.
Oh, you don't like small plates?
No, I hate small plates.
Oh, okay, right.
Because I feel like you never get enough. You overorder. It feels like a scam to try to get you to way order above the odds. Like a small plate
that
is nearly the same as a large plate.
That is true. So they're like yeah, when they're like, so they're £12 each and I think you could maybe have four or five. And then when you do the maths, you're like, what?
you have been robbed. You have been robbed in a restaurant. And none of them feel like, you know, sort of like, oh, it's, you know, delicious prawns. And it comes out and it's two fucking prawns.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? And so it feels like that's what we're slightly getting with Unjust Like That. Which is, it feels like we're getting a small plate menu. So yeah, we're getting a lot of things to taste, but none of them are very filling.
That's a very good analogy.
Thanks, everyone.
I like small plates, actually, in restaurants. I don't like small plate television, but I like small plates in restaurants because in restaurants, as in life, I like to try everything. And I feel like I'm missing out if I haven't tried everything. That's why I like small plates.
But that's the difference between Dylan and Juno. We've just really boiled it down
to restaurants.
Juno wants one thing done well. Dylan wants lots of little things to try everything.
Done to varying qualities.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I feel like we're getting. And once again, it feels like these sort of meandering threads about Anthony and Giuseppe and Seema and the film director, to my mind, are slightly coming at the detriment of the main cast of Miranda, Charlotte and Carrie. It feels like we're just not spending that much time with Carrie, Miranda and Charlotte,
and
which
I'm
is
also
bugging me a little bit.
I'm also frustrated. I was frustrated with the Lily and Brady storyline because I was like, yes, like this is a storyline that involves two of the main characters, Charlotte and Miranda, mm-hmm. two of the OGs. And like, yes, a couple of their interactions around it were kind of, you know, slightly amusing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this is not about their lives. I want to know like how Miranda's feeling about how her life's developing. And we've seen Charlotte at work, but we haven't mm-hmm. seen, I want a fucking work storyline with Charlotte. Like this is such a big deal for Charlotte mm-hmm. and such an amazing thing that she's had the courage to like go back to work. I want a storyline about her smashing it at work, like doing an amazing gallery opening, like meeting new up and coming artists from Brooklyn. Like, why are we just getting these fluff storylines with Charlotte? I want something tangible that I can get my teeth into.
I know what you mean. Well, again, we want a main dish.
Well,
we want
yeah.
a main course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take them one at a time.
Yeah.
Let's go through. Because it feels, this is why I'm finding this whole thing quite frustrating, because I feel like I'm being really negative. And each week there is some good. I don't think we've quite reached the dizzy heights of the episode with the dust balls, which felt like proper sort of Sex and the City.
Yeah. I laughed a couple of times in this one, like properly laughed.
Excellent.
Which is good. And yeah, I thought this one was like average. It wasn't like terrible and it wasn't amazing.
And it does feel like we're moving really fast. It feels like time moves at a different speed in And Just Like That than it ever used to do in Sex and the City.
Well, I even for a minute was like, did I miss an episode? And then I was like, no, that's impossible. Because when Carrie mentioned, like, she's already been to the house in Virginia.
Yes.
And met the kids and everything. And then Charlotte, like, is suddenly just in full swing at work. And I was like, I feel like I've missed an episode, which is not, that's not a good sign.
No, so some time has moved on. So we last saw Carrie going off to Virginia to meet Aiden's kids. We start at the top where she's now back in Manhattan. And it turns out Aiden's youngest child, Wyatt, is a goblin.
The kids in general do not come off well in this show. Like, they're all arseholes. with the exception
digital
of...
digital native villains. Yeah,
like Rock's all right. But the rest of them are like an absolute fucking nightmare, all of them.
Yeah. So Wyatt's being a turd. But as everybody points out, he's 14.
Yes.
Carrie probably did the most.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine meeting Carrie for the first time?
Oh God,
she'd be recommending you books.
I was gonna say, I bet she bought them all like first edition books of like what she thought matched their personalities.
Yeah, insufferable. Something like that. Yeah. So we did, but again, why didn't we see this encounter? Show not tell.
Yeah,
it's like we're being told how that meeting went.
Yeah, and it made me realize, like, as much as we hate it when any of them leave New York, it made me realize I actually wanted to see her at that house at the farmhouse.
Yeah.
I would have liked seeing that. I mean, maybe we still will. Who knows?
Although this episode, if we stick with the Carrie plot for a bit, it felt very meta, like almost unnecessarily meta, in that we've kind of got her listing her apartment as being some metaphor for Carrie sort of letting go of her past.
Mm.
But then we've also got the question that we've had on this podcast and that I'm sure everybody has had, which is, if Carrie is going to get back together with Aiden, like, what's she going to do if she needs to break up with him? Like, she can't break up with him again.
Yeah.
She's already broken up with him. She's broken his heart twice, in that she cheated on him. And then she refused to marry him, which I've always said was on Aiden. He was being a bully. He was rushing her into something she wasn't ready for. But it does kind of leave us with the big problem hanging over Aiden and Carrie, which is, you know, how can it end? You know, because if she walks away from him again, wow, what a bitch.
This is why I'm worried, because I do not want it to end with him having sold her identity away. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like we're running out of alternatives, and we're also running out of episodes. If it doesn't crash and burn in the next episode, I'm going to be very concerned.
Well, I somewhat believed Carrie and Aiden more this week. In that, like, having... So let's bear in mind, this is only Aiden's third week back. They're moving in together. This is wild times. I think it's... I've never got back together with an ex. Actually, once I did, and there is an element where you can somewhat pick up where you left off, so you're not having to do the awkward first dates because you already know each other. So I can see why it would be slightly quicker, given that they have a whole lot of history, in the words of Girls Aloud. But wow, it's moving fast. But, like, I love the throwback of Aiden dancing around in his Y fronts again.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since he's danced around in his Y fronts.
And again, I liked something this show has done very well is like showing, like, yes, he has a great body, John Corbett, but it's an older person's body, definitely. And they just they showed it unflinchingly, which he seemed really down for it and stuff. I liked that.
Well, he's obviously been working out very hard and wants to show off his bod.
Yeah.
So I thought that Carrie and Aiden had a lovely dynamic, wonderful chemistry. And obviously we finally get to meet Kathy.
Yes.
Kathy, who is identical twins of Fern.
Yes.
Miranda's evil co-worker from season 6.
We're back in the multiverse.
Truly does HBO only hire 5 cast members? So this is the second identical twin / clone of And Just Like That season 2 after Carrie's tech millionaire shag.
Yeah. She also, so it's Rosemary DeWitt. Mm-hmm. Is the actor, and she is also, did you know this bit of trivia, married to Ron Livingston in real life, who plays Burger.
Oh my god, it's all too much. So was she married to him back in the day as well? When, how long have they been married for?
I don't know, but maybe that's the connect. Maybe that's how she got the gig. But then I think Fern appeared before Burger. I don't know, actually.
No, season 6. Well, it depends, because I'm not sure. Did Fern appear twice? Was she also the woman who tried to outlaw Dress Down Friday?
Yeah, but I think Fern, we only saw Fern once.
I think possibly, I think it may be we're conflating two horrid co-workers into one. But yeah, she's definitely the one who calls Miranda up for leaving early and prompts Miranda to, yeah. Utter the immortal line, way to watch my back, Fern.
Yeah. And we said on the podcast that we hate Fern.
We hate Fern. And we also hate Kathy. Do we hate Kathy?
I don't know. So I know...
It was an awkward fucking brunch. Look at it that way.
I know Rosemary DeWitt from United States of Tara. She's like the crazy sister in United States of Tara. And she's amazing.
Okay, I've never seen that. Okay.
I wrote in my notes that it was a reasonable request from Kathy.
100%, yeah.
With the kids.
The kids bit was fine. It was the you can't hurt Aiden again felt like massively overstepping.
Yeah, and like Carrie held it together well, but you could tell Carrie was pissed off. And I'd be pissed off. Like, something I really hate is when people like state the obvious. It's like, it would make me want to turn around and be like, oh, actually, no. Oh, actually, thanks. I was thinking of cheating on him again. But now that you said that, I won't. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's really patronizing. Like, a really minor example of it is when I was a teenager and my mum used to say, like, it'd be like apocalyptic weather outside. My mum always used to say, make sure you take a jacket. And I used to be an arsehole and I used to be like, oh, no, thanks, mum. I was thinking of just going out in shorts and a t-shirt.
See, Carrie wouldn't do that because she's very old-fashioned.
Yes.
And it was kind of giving vibes of that incredibly terse meeting that she had with Natasha Bigg in season 1, where she can... She, even in the face of great adversity, she kind of holds her own and kind of... You know, but then similarly, she doesn't acquiesce or back down, and she kind of does say to Kathy, yes, I'm very well aware of that, actually, and I have no intention of hurting Aiden.
Yeah, she's quite... She's not... She doesn't respond angrily, but she certainly responds, like, frostily.
Yes, it was quite a frosty encounter, so I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Not helped, again, frosty is the word I've used to describe Carrie quite a lot since she lost her voiceover.
Yeah.
Like, even her responding to news of Brady and Lily possibly having sex, I found that a bit kind of like, a little bit cool. Like,
she just like was like,
I do not want to know this information. Chilling.
just walked away. Mind you, the young Carrie did have her frosty moments, definitely. But like you said, like without the voiceover, it just gives it that extra sort of punch and makes her seem like
And I wonder as well, because she's not the smiliest of actors, is an SJP.
That's true, actually.
And like when she does smile, it feels like she does that whole slur.
And maybe like a look back.
Yeah.
There's the short clip I love of when she's like sipping a cocktail. And she's like, you just don't get it. And then she like looks back from like, I think season 6.
Mm-hmm. Slightly frosty, but I think, Dylan, we're just going to have to accept, I think we're meant to just think that Carrie and Aiden are back together.
Although there's a seed of, I've got a seed of hope, because I'm really not here for Carrie and Aiden getting back together and her selling her apartment and everything. I've got a seed of hope from Miranda, because did you see Miranda's face again when Carrie was like, I'm selling the apartment? Miranda like gasped and was like, are you sure? And it's got shades of Miranda, how Miranda behaved when Carrie was moving to Paris with Petrovsky. Miranda was really Miranda was really like, look, you, I feel like you're losing yourself and like it's this is not true to you. So we'll see, but yeah, I think maybe this could be it. It could be Carrie and Aiden.
Is Aiden going to dump her because the kids don't like her? And
if he dumped her, that could be a way it could end. If he dumped
her. He can dump her. I think he can dump her.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to wrap up this season, if not the entire series, with, I'm afraid, Carrie ending up with Aiden. I think we're meant to believe it. I think we're meant to buy it. I'm afraid. I think the scene where Carrie confesses to Aiden that Kathy has said, look, you can't break his heart. And then I quite liked, and this slipped in very cleverly as well, I never say shit about her boyfriend. So this is not Kathy being jealous. Kathy has met somebody new as well. And Aiden says, we're going to hurt each other. You know, you're going to hurt me. I'm going to hurt you. That is absolutely how it goes. But you're right, the bigger red flag is selling the apartment.
Yeah.
Because there's no need. Carrie is a millionaire many times over. She could rent, you know, she hung on to that apartment when she was married to Big, you know, that apartment, you know, Charlotte uses it to get away from her children, you know. It's kind of, yeah, there's no need for her to sell it.
Yeah. I wasn't here for what Carrie being like, and now we have no place to live. Like, yeah, well, you've got a gorgeous apartment in Greenwich Village or an amazing farmhouse in Virginia, but go off.
Yeah, like why don't you shut the fuck up? Aiden is choosing not to go into your beautiful apartment.
Yeah, and that was vaguely addressed in the conversation in the toilet between her and Seema. Carrie was, the Seema was a bit like, is he really still not? He just won't go there at all. And Carrie's like, no.
Idiot. I can't get my head around that. It's like, it's time to move on. Although, do we think Carrie is going to somehow sell it to Lizette?
I think she'll sublet it to Lizette.
Well, no, she told Seema. She told Seema she wanted to buy the enormous house.
Yeah.
Which was ridiculous, but beautiful. It was very,
I mean,
beautiful.
It was stunning. I think maybe she'll sublet it to Lisette, and then it's still there. In her, she still has it. Yeah, I don't know.
The gay guys are kicking me out. Wow, homophobia. Does it matter that they're gay, Lisette? God, these gays just evicting people.
What? The line, I scoffed at the line, no matter how many FaceTimes are turned away from me, I will not turn away from you. Come on.
what a piece of dialogue. Yeah. As far as we know, we have two episodes left. We've not seen Samantha or Sam Smith yet. To look forward to, we have Samantha and Sam Smith. Let's see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's take a little break and deal with the other 25 characters. Okay, we'll be back in a second. Don't move a muscle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Voluma XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello. Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. We're talking about season 2 of And Just Like That, episode 9, There Goes the Neighbourhood. Okay. I feel at this point, do you know what would be cool? Like a wheel. Spinning wheels to randomly assign who we're going to talk
with
about
everyone's
next.
With photos of everyone's heads on it. And then then we have like an allotted amount of time. And if it doesn't land on them, we just don't talk about them.
Let's get the OGs out of the way. Charlotte and Miranda this week. First of all, let's talk about the most important thing, which is Miranda's costume when she looks around the flat.
Yes, the suit. I wrote that down. So good.
Although actually her purple dress from last week as well, stunning. Who is styling this show? Cynthia Nixon looks divine.
Do you know what? All the styling this week I really liked. I loved a lot of Carrie's outfits. When Carrie goes to her apartment and she's got the side ponytail and the like gypsy dress silhouette. Mm-hmm. It was like very OG Sex and the City Carrie. I loved it. And yeah, Miranda's...
I thought she looked stunning at the fundraiser as well, at Harry's fundraiser. I thought she looked quite stunning.
Yeah, but yeah, the styling 10 out of 10 this week.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason that Miranda's suit feels so triumphant is that it feels like a throwback to season 1 power dressing Miranda.
Very that.
Like, can you remember when she dresses as a lesbian when she's pretending to be a lesbian with Sid?
With Sid,
and she
yeah.
wears the suit and tie.
Yeah.
It felt very like a throwback to that. She looked absolutely exquisite.
Yeah, stunning.
Mm-hmm. That green with her red hair.
Yeah. Oh. Perfection.
And that's all that matters. other than that, she is the slow reveal horror that there is only one bathroom in Naya's apartment and she has to go through the bedroom to get to it. That used to be true. Kerry does love it when I give her a shout out on this podcast. When Kerry lived on Ventnor Villas in Hove, she doesn't live there anymore, so she's moved. It's fine. I can reveal her address. When Kerry lived on Ventnor Villas, there was one bathroom in the apartment and you had to go through the bedroom to get to it.
Yeah.
So if you ever crashed, it was when I was living in London, if I ever came down, either, you know, we just had to share the same bedroom or you used to have to tiptoe through Kerry's bedroom in the middle of the night. Don't mind me, just going for a night wee. Hi. Why is Miranda still living at Naya's? I'm so confused. Just rent somewhere. Surely she's quite rich.
Yeah, you would think so. I feel, and she's, there are now two main characters who have like multiple properties in this show. I'm quite confused about, so she goes back to their house to shower.
So where do we think Naya lives? Is Naya in Brooklyn as well?
I think we're to assume...
That seems feasible.
Yeah, I think we're to assume that Naya's in Brooklyn or like Central maybe. I don't know. But the flat...
Was there a line of dialogue that Naya was very close to Miranda so it was easier for her to pop home?
Yeah.
I think a few weeks ago when Naya first suggested Miranda moving in, possibly there was a bit of dialogue about her not having to go as far.
Yeah.
Because she can't do her morning piss. God, I would have just gone in the sink, if I'm honest.
Yeah, same. I thought that.
I can't. It's the first thing I do in the morning, obviously. So for whatever reason, Miranda goes back to Brooklyn where she sees Lily emerging from Brady's room.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, like is a strong word, but obviously that's one of our ongoing plots this year, which is Miranda trying to encourage Brady to go to college.
And I think I like it too, because it's very, well, I feel like we're getting back now to Miranda actually Miranda. And it is very Miranda to be like a bit of a pushy...
helicopter parent.
Yeah, a bit of a pushy parent. Yeah, I like that. It feels genuine.
So also that I did know that I think Lily will be a good year and a half younger than Brady. Because if we think, obviously Lily arrives at the very end of season 6 and Miranda gives birth in season 4. So depending on...
Well, I noticed they were careful to put in a line of dialogue where Lily says, we haven't chatted properly since we were at summer camp and I was 12 and he was 14. So that, yes, like, tells viewers, like, don't worry, Brady's not 10 years older than Lily.
Yeah. we could have worked out. We're all Sex and the City fans. It's fine.
Yeah.
And we know Lily lost her virginity 2 weeks ago. Anyway. Yeah. It's fine. Although, again, virginity doesn't exist.
Doesn't.
It's not something you can have or lose. It's a magic.
It's a magical.
It's a magical. It doesn't matter. You might as well say you lost your mermaid tail. Not a thing.
One criticism I had of Miranda was when she said, as much as like I liked her being a pushy parent, she said, my only child is making french fries for a living. I don't want his life's achievement to be mastering the crinkle cut. One career path isn't more valid than or less valid than another.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting. I wrote this in my notes because it made me think, like, sort of in COVID, in the depths of COVID era, mm-hmm. I worked in a pub, obviously at the stage when pubs were open. And like told all my friends, I was like, oh, I'm working in a pub. It's really fun. And one friend in particular was very well-meaning, but was accidentally really patronizing. And
was it me?
No, it wasn't you. But they would send me like links to journalism jobs and be like, oh, I hope you find something soon. And it's kind of like, thank you, but I have found something. Like, it counts as a job working in a pub. Do you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, just interesting the way different people's minds work with things like that.
It's a lot to do with ego, I think, as well.
Yeah.
I think some people see things as, you want to see something as beneath you if you place yourself on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And I was really raised to think you always have to have money coming in.
Mm.
And that is the most important thing. And when my mum and dad broke up, my mum was a cleaner for a while. You know, then she ended up working, sort of doing some like factory work, kind of which she could do from home.
Mm.
So, you know, there was, you know, just you always have to have money coming in. You know, I started in a fish and chip shop. You know, it's kind of, yeah, as long as there's money coming in. And also as well, I think, and I don't know if this is true in America as it is in the UK, I think there is a growing recognition that the debt you get from university is such an albatross.
Yeah.
That actually is it worthwhile, kind of always, you know, especially when some of the richest people I know are, I don't want to name names, so I don't want to land anyone in trouble, but it's people who went into construction.
Oh yeah.
And while the construction industry isn't iron proof, it was one of the industries that could keep going during COVID, so it was plague proof.
Yeah.
You know,
and it is like, I suppose it's like the definition of essential, isn't it? Like, we need to be able to construct things. That's how we've become the human race. Like,
yeah. And this is someone I know who doesn't have a bunch of sort of academic qualifications, but is a bona fide millionaire.
Mm.
And that's because he has his own business. He can hold people for hostage because, do you know what I can't do? Make my attic conversion, but he can.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's a thing. It's a real skill. So I think, and even if we stay within the realm of Sex and the City, you know, Steve has done all right for himself.
Yeah.
You know,
Scout
as a bartender slash now, although is Scout serving food? Is that where he's making fries?
Do you know what I bet Scout does? Small plates.
But it fucking does, yeah. Here's your prawn. That'll be $13.
Here's one arancini ball for $20.
Thanks. So yeah, so Lily and Brady shag.
Yeah.
This would send me into trouble because there is... It's that thing, so it's family friends, isn't it? It's a bit icky. When I once made out with one of my mum's friend's kids, and we had known each other since we were really young. And at the time, we thought nothing of it. It was just sheer proximity. It was just how convenient that we're on holiday together. Let's snog. Yeah, looking back, we'd known each other since we were babies. It's not okay. Well, is it? It's fine. Again,
I mean, it is fine.
Convenience is key, isn't it?
Yeah, it is fine. But yeah, it is. Yeah, it's.
She does
strange.
Refer to Auntie Miranda though. When Charlotte refers to, please, Auntie Miranda is really worried.
Yeah.
Which makes them non-biological cousins.
I like Lily's ring pull earring. It's only in it briefly,
oh, I missed
but
that.
She's got a pink like ring pull earring. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we always say Lily's the devil child, but I really like Lily.
Oh yeah, incredibly chic. Yeah. Yeah, she's like the Catherine Mertoy of And Just Like That. Yeah, she's giving some very sort of kind of chaotic evil energy that I'm really here for.
Yeah, she's sort of like Olivia Rodrigo via, I don't know, someone else.
Mm-hmm. Power of privilege.
The power of privilege, yeah.
Was that what it was called?
Yeah,
power
yeah.
Of privilege? Yeah. Enough of that malarkey anyway. Yeah. Let's move on to the surprise. And this speaks really highly of Karen Pittman, where she hasn't been in two episodes this season and she's only in about three scenes in this episode. And yet she has this kind of real presence.
Yeah, she does.
Kind of. And I think it's a very clever thing when you can take a little thread that is played for laughs, which is Naya discovering the joys of casual Tinder sex.
Yeah.
With a man who is kind of like 2023 Smith Gerrard.
Yeah. Not my bag at all.
No, is that not for you? I thought you'd like the long hair.
I do like
surfy vibes.
I do like long hair on a man, but not that
man.
Hair. Not that man. I'm sure he's lovely.
No, I didn't fancy him either. But lovely bottom. I'll say that. Really lovely bottom.
Yeah.
Nice back.
Yeah.
I don't know. He does loads of orgasms on Naya.
Yeah.
But then, and this is fucking brutal, she found out that Andre is having a baby on Instagram, which is rough of Andre to not tell her.
Yeah.
That is fucking rough.
Yeah. Oh.
Unacceptable. Andre Rashid, in the sea you go.
And then you're right, Karen Pittman's great. She does a great like face change. Just her face just like goes grey. And she's like,
yeah,
you can leave now to the man.
Because I mean that's not on her, but given what Andre and Naya went through in terms of IVF and their journey trying to conceive, for Andre to be having a baby on the way and to not give Naya a heads up before it's posted on Instagram.
Trash.
Fucking unacceptable.
Trash.
I would be livid.
Yeah.
Livid. Do we think is it the singer-songwriter that we glimpsed last season as well?
Yeah.
Earlier this season?
Well, it was a blonde white lady in like a bad dress.
Same one.
To add insult to injury.
So he's having a showmans with whoever he's touring with. And now she's knocked up.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Naya has been having plenty of sex this season as well. But not give your ex a heads up. It's rough.
Uh-huh.
No way. Nope. Meanwhile, Seema is getting it on with our Taika Waititi... What's his name? Ravi,
yeah.
Who is a director? I thought he was an actor, but he's actually a director.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the name of the film he makes that Aiden is obsessed with?
Napakapow. I wrote it down phonetically.
Oh, Nepal Kapow.
Nepal Kapow.
So it'll be Nepal Kapow, right? So he's meant to be Nepalese. Okay, got you.
But they're talking... that it's a riff on RRR, because the scene that they talk...
Yes, the tigers.
Seen, yeah, have you seen that movie?
I am familiar with the scene with the tigers, but I've not seen the film. Apparently it's amazing.
Oh my God, it's easily my favourite action film of the last, like, 5 years. It's incredible.
Oh, okay. RRR, let's get into it.
And it's like... super camp as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like crazy Matrix style action interspersed with dance numbers. It's amazing. 11 out of 10.
That can be tonight's activity. I'm not doing anything tonight. We're on.
It is 3 hours long.
Oh, Dylan. And oh, it was all going so well. It's got to at least have Captain America in if I'm going to sit there for 3 hours. But
I will say both of the lead roles are extremely tasty.
Okay, I'll see. I'll float it down the river and see what Max says. Let's see. Three-hour action dance spectacular.
Seema is saying to Carrie, like, he's so wrong for me. But I think he's perfect for her.
I don't understand why he's wrong for her.
Yeah, because she says that she sees, like, actresses sliding into his DMs and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think they're really well matched.
Please, I would love somebody to have some sort of a conversation about non-monogamy.
Yeah.
That would be really nice. Why can't Seema and Ravi be together, but then he can still fuck an actress if he wants to fuck an actress?
Yeah, I mean, slightly with Che and Miranda. Like, Che's character is, I think, non-monogamous, aren't they? Where to assume.
But then they weren't. It still feels monogamy is definitely presented as the ideal.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
It is ideal if you are monogamous, and non-monogamy is something that somebody has to tolerate.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we'll get it from the gays, from Anthony and
Giuseppe. Should we move on to them?
Yeah, we had like sort of...
I find this plot slightly vexing, I must admit. But
it's just a bit...
Go.
It's just a bit meandering, strangely. They had sort of sex in the bathroom, but we didn't really see. They both.
No, it was worse. They were in Lily's bedroom, which also found a bit creepy because they went looking. It was in Lily's bedroom, so that's why they went looking for Lily and Brady.
Yes.
Were they at Charlotte's house? Yes, they were at Charlotte's house.
Yeah, yeah.
So Anthony is getting a handy in Lily's bedroom, which I'm not entirely, that's a bit weird as well, but okay.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable getting a hand job in a child's bedroom.
They're not children. That has been made very clear. Although Rock and Lily share a room, of course. So it is kind of a child's bedroom. A minor's bedroom.
Giuseppe says 5 dinners with no dick is not very gay.
Yeah, that's the line that I've seen shared to death on social media.
Oh, really? Yeah. Evan Ross Katz. I find that, because I do our social media, and I find myself sometimes having to beat Evan Ross Katz to the punch because he's so quick with posting
quick,
memes.
Yeah.
Him and Ryan Scott are the main offenders.
Well, to be fair, they do that almost professionally.
True.
We have day jobs,
Dylan. We've got lives.
But We have lives, Evan.
Not all of us can post so quickly on Instagram.
My job is not beach. My job is not social media.
But yeah, Anthony, I don't know. I feel like they've changed Anthony's character, and they've been guilty of this a few times. They've changed Anthony's character to fit this storyline. I think his insecurity about being older is kind of interesting. He says, like, would a gorgeous young man like you really be interested in me? Which is interesting because we kind of touched on that last week. We kind of said, would they be together? But yeah, we've established that it is genuine. Giuseppe has dual citizenship. Yeah, we'll see. But weirdly, like, as much as I asked for this, I don't really care.
Well, again, I think the problem is I don't particularly like Anthony. So that's why I find it hard to believe that Giuseppe likes him.
Yeah.
I find him a bit toxic, if I'm honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, Giuseppe, I don't particularly fancy Giuseppe either. I don't find him particularly interesting, so fine.
Do you know who I did fancy in this episode?
Who?
Toby, the person who comes into the veterinary surgery. I thought they were very sexy.
I thought Che and Toby's chemistry was good. Not my type. You know I like really big, big stripping.
Vikings,
yeah, so that's not really my jam. Of the new cast, Ravi would be the one who I would be most interested in, I think.
Oh, actually, yeah, probably. The new men. Ravi or...
Actually, Herbert. I think Herbert's really sexy.
Ravi
as well.
Or Herbert, yeah. In the veterinary surgery, there were one of two times in this episode that I really laughed. This one was like a laugh and an eye roll. The fact that the fucking cat rescue centre is called Angelical Cats. I mean, I can't.
Sure.
I can't.
Shout out to Ilana Glazer getting a name check as well.
Yes. Oh, and then the other bit I laughed at was when Anthony's like trying to get out of bringing Giuseppe upstairs, and he's like, oh, let me help this sweet old lady. And she's like, it's me, Edie, I'm 57, I just stopped dyeing my hair.
Poor Edie. Let's move on to Lisa and Herbert. Twist! Lisa, pregnant! What?
Yeah. I mean,
I wonder if they're going to do a later in life abortion storyline. Do you know what? I really hope they do, and I'm going to tell you why. Because reproductive rights are so under threat in America at the moment.
Oh my God.
It would be really important, I think, to see a wealthy, upper class woman choosing to have an abortion because it is just not right for her. They've already got, I want to say, four kids.
Yeah.
They have many kids. Her husband is running for political office. She has got a film coming out. I would be really interested. That is not a plotline I've ever seen on TV, where a mature woman who isn't in some sort of desperate Juno-like situation where, you know, she's not a schoolgirl, she hasn't been raped, you know, her life isn't in peril. This is a woman making a mature decision to have a termination because it is the wrong time in the life for her.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I would really, really like to see. Do I think they're going to do that? No.
I'm not sure. I think they could. If there's one thing, a very positive thing about Unjust Like That is it is daring and it takes risks. Not all of them pay off. It might. I really hope it does. And I actually hadn't considered that. And it's interesting that they, in this episode, in the same breath as revealing that she was pregnant, also touch on the fact that she's extremely busy and overworked.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen. I'll be very impressed if it does. I really, really hope it does.
So this is why she keeps falling asleep. Obviously, she's menopausal though as well. So it feels like let's see. Maybe she wasn't menopausal. Maybe she was just pregnant. But let's see what happens with the Todd Wexleys. Yeah.
God, I've got...
Okay, we've checked everyone off, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say I've got fatigue from going all through all the characters.
I think we're okay. But again, yeah, nothing groundbreaking happens this week. So there wasn't anything big, other than Carrie putting her flat on the market, which feels... I think we're meant to... I'm not sure how we're meant to feel.
But it felt...
So let's see.
Yeah, it felt slightly like a filler episode. And I'm like, why are you doing filler episodes? You've only got 11 episodes and you've got 5,000 characters. We shouldn't be doing filler episodes. It needs to be like plot, plot, plot.
I suppose that the problem is the decision to bring in Aiden in episode, I want to say, 7? Yeah, so not to bring him until episode 7. That's meant... A bit like with Petrovsky, although that said, Petrovsky had a good 12 episodes, you know, for us to get into that. Whereas Aiden, it's all moving really fast. And they could have brought Aiden in sooner. You know, we didn't need the guy, the tech bro, did we? We didn't need him. So it's,
yeah.
Well, anyway, let's see what happens. We've got 2 episodes left, everyone.
A final thought in my notes. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying for a second that Charlotte and Miranda would go to Chipotle for lunch.
Yes. Speaking of Evan has also pointed out that he's not quite buying they would go to Chipotle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of it feels like almost, dare I say it, product placement.
Oh, yeah.
Chopped salads last week as well, which is a big salad chain. Do we have Chopped in the UK?
They're
everywhere in New York. I saw there's one on every corner.
Oh, right. No, I don't think we have it here. But yeah, Chipotle, no way.
Yeah, God. Just...
Grubhub. So, I mean, Grubhub got a mention as well.
Grubhub, that's the American equivalent of Deliveroo.
Yeah.
I was very reliant on Grubhub while I was in the middle of Illinois, trapped in a hotel in the middle of a motorway. So I became very familiar with Grubhub. I think the delivery men all knew me. Hi again. 3 meals a day, thanks. Chipotle. Charlotte...
Charlotte
swerved Chipotle.
Yeah, Charlotte's like, I don't have an appetite.
I don't want to eat your sloppy food.
Another person pissed off at Charlotte. He was pissed off again.
I wonder if that's how this season ends, with Charlotte just being killed by some sort of service clerk, some hospitality person. He's like, not today, not today, Satan.
The scourge of New York's hospitality sector, Charlotte York Goldenblatt.
God, it feels like 100 years ago since she was in that clothing reselling place.
Yeah, it was like 4 weeks ago, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
A lifetime in Sex and City terms.
I have some more listener messages.
Yay!
We're getting listener lots. Messages. Keep them coming. So this first one is from Becky. Mm-hmm. And she's playing catch up with our podcast. So she, I think, so she's just reached where we talk about the OG Sex and the City, A Woman's Right to Shoes, okay. Where Carrie, remember, gets her shoes stolen from the party.
Uh-huh.
And Becky says, I'm a massive fan of the podcast. I'm listening to A Woman's Right to Shoes. I had a similar situation where I lent my iPod Nano, showing my age, to a friend, and it was stolen from her locker at work, and I made her give me the money for it. In 2010, that was about £120, which I mm-hmm. saved for months to buy. Felt badly to have to do it to a friend, but it was a lot of money. So I feel for Carrie, but I hate the shoes.
iPod Nano, wow.
I know. And £120 for an iPod Nano, Jesus. The next one's from Catherine. We've got some more Virginia intel. So Catherine is another listener who lives in Virginia. But she's from the UK originally. And she says, I have to tell you, I laughed my head off when I found out Aidan's rustic farmhouse is meant to be in Norfolk, Virginia. As a Brit who has been living in Virginia Beach right next to Norfolk, I can tell you there's nothing rustic about it. It has the world's largest naval station and is a pretty rundown city. Virginia Beach, where I live, is nicer, but definitely still not rustic. Suffolk, Virginia would have worked better, and then they still could have had the UK-US place name mix-up.
Oh, yeah.
She also sent a message a while ago that I never got around to reading out, where she made a very good point. It's in regards to discussing children and having children, and reproduction and adoption, which mm-hmm. we've discussed quite a lot. And she said, when discussing child issues, it'd be great if you could also include the childless, not by choice perspective. Our community are those who know we will never have children, no surrogacy, adoption, etc., but wish that were the case. So yeah, that adds like an interesting dimension to like discussing having kids.
Yeah, because I mean, that was almost the plot with Charlotte, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, there was, you know, when she first meets Harry Goldenblatt and she tells him, I may not be able to have children.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, what are you going to do?
Adopt. Yeah.
So they chose to adopt, yeah. I mean, and I remember when some of my friends was struggling to conceive, and I sort of tried to, and I don't know if this is the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, but I was like, but what about adoption? What about surrogacy? And that just wasn't right for them.
Yeah. And I think the point Catherine's making, which I didn't consider, to be fair, is there are some people who, whatever reason, can't adopt.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that as well. So yeah. Mm. And then a final one, short and sweet, from Dan H., who messaged in just saying, I need Seema to peg Steve. Thanks, Dan H.
And I think that gets listener letter of the week. Thank you very much. And on that, well, we're going to leave you with the image of Seema pegging Steve. And I hope that will stay with you all week. And we will see you next
what
week
is for it?
Just Like That, episode 10. What's going to happen? Until then, like and subscribe and take care. Bye for now.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.